The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Intro theme music! All of the intro theme music.
The house band isn't here today. This caps out.
The house band's gone.
Somebody forgot to feed them, I guess.
All right, and shut up in 3, 2. Welcome to Nerdy Show, the geeky podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from Star Trek to video games to TV and movies. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hey, I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
Hey, I'm Doug.
Hey, I'm... Line?
Tony. You're Tony.
Tony.
So
Tony.
When Cap's not here, it's so confusing.
Well,
I know.
This is difficult. Okay,
I look to my left and I see this mug as opposed to the
other
way around. Yeah, and then the right one, I got Doug and then Brent.
Or we need to explain what happened first.
So, I'm the Cap now.
Oh, Jesus.
Cap?
You're the Cap Tan now? Are you the Tan Cap now?
I'm the one with the hat. Okay, so
Cap.
Got it? Okay, got
it. Okay, nobody at home understands. So
that's why he's the new Cap.
Cap has left for 2 weeks to go to the San Diego Comic-Con and Camp Fangamer, and unbeknownst to him, while he was gone, I took his house key, and that's how we are here trying or attempting to record an episode without him.
He didn't want this to happen.
No,
he really didn't.
In fact,
we had to break through a lot of caution tape and Brandon stay out stickers in order to get into this
room. The room was a mess. The computer was hidden. He tried everything to stop
us. We've actually learned some interesting things about the operations of Nerdy Show that we weren't fully aware of before.
Yeah. 50% of his keyboard works. I don't know how he uses it.
Cap's got this broken keyboard and this computer from 1992 or
Ultimately,
something.
Cap is a mad genius.
I don't know how he uses it.
I don't know how it's even how we're recording this right now. To be
very,
honest,
very
is it? Is it just to check? Is it indeed still recording?
it looks like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It is. There's a little bit of a delay because it can't draw very fast due to the lack of a video card.
But that might be normal.
Boy.
That might be normal. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. But that's now that I'm aware of how the sausage is made, I'm a little nervous now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But now we're more aware of how much more donations we need so we can actually have equipment.
Working equipment.
Yeah. That functions
need
properly.
A
yeah. Nerdyshow.com/buycap a new keyboard.
Seriously. So,
one at this point because it's got to be better.
I actually have a drawer of keyboards at home. All he needed to do was, let us know.
Binders
hey, I've got a
Do you know what's funny, Boar? Right behind you is an actual working keyboard.
That's for Minecraft.
Yeah, okay. How often do we actually type on that keyboard? Never.
I went on the Minecraft server.
John controls the server now. We don't even use it from here.
There's absolutely nobody on it.
That happens when I go on it, too. No one else is on it when I'm on it.
Well, it's
rarely.
It's like six years old.
And every time I go on, it's a new... it's a completely new server, I swear.
Really?
It's not. It's all old and all the new stuff.
I get that, but all the stuff that used to be there is not there
anymore. Well, they changed the spawn point because it got so overcrowded, they had to keep moving it away so people could build
it. I've heard that, but it seems like a new server every time because of that.
Well, good. You get a
Minecraft
new
doesn't hold. Minecraft doesn't have all those little,
I've only seen Mjolnir
teleporting.
On there. That's the only other person I've seen on there.
Hear what happened to him. He actually his body doesn't exist anymore, and he's actually, his consciousness
is trapped.
As
soon as you said, what happened to him, right?
Lives,
you don't have a goddamn clue.
He only lives in Minecraft. He actually can't get out.
He's like that urban legend about the ghost of the kid who lives in Minecraft.
Wait, yeah. That's not a legend, that's
true. I think
true.
That's what Brandon was doing right now.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart, guys. I didn't remember that, honestly. Mjolnir is trapped.
We should probably get started with the show.
Yeah, let's do that. Brandon, you're up first. What have you been up to?
Oh, okay. Nothing.
Nothing.
No,
good. Doug.
No. Okay. Well,
quick, guys.
There's just one lie after another with you.
Well, it's almost true. Well, like everyone else, I've been, I've been seeing some of the new movies that have come out. Mm-hmm. There was some exciting news for Overwatch. I don't think it's out yet, but are you all avid Overwatch players?
Oh, yeah.
Doug? Yeah, definitely.
I don't own it, but
okay,
it's a cool game.
Get out of this conversation. No, I'm kidding. So the new character, one of the new characters announced, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you for that?
Have you played her?
No, because I went on and she wasn't.
I couldn't find it.
Four
console scrub.
Oh,
yeah. See, that's
PC
why.
PC Master Race, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was like, I saw you playing it, Board. I was like, what the fuck? And I went online. I'm like, it's not available. How does he? Did
well,
he have some sort of special
see,
VIP?
When I posted that on Facebook, it was because I was playing on the beta server. But she's actually legitimately released on PC now.
Why does PC get a release first?
Because it's better.
it's easier to...
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It's easier to release updates because they only have to go through themselves, whereas like Sony, on consoles, they have to go through Microsoft or Sony's approval process and stuff always, like that.
Well, then I'll ask you a question.
They also have to balance the characters differently because the play style on the console is significantly slower.
They had to nerf the turrets because they were...
They were murdering people.
Yeah, because if you had like five team members that were all having...
Torbjorn.
Yeah, Torbjorn. I can't pronounce it, but that guy, the midget guy...
Torbjorn.
Yeah, Toblerone, and they all had turrets. Like, your team wouldn't win. It just they all have turrets on top of each other. You would just lose.
Dwarf Fortress. That's a viable.
We actually do that all the time on PC.
I heard they were buffing D.Va, like making her stronger.
D.Va has been ridiculously buffed. At this point.
Tell me how, because I didn't find the details.
Okay, a couple of things that they've done to her. First off, her defense matrix has been made, which is her ability to kind of block incoming damage.
Because I play her a lot, so I like that character.
I'm explaining for the people at home who might not know.
Sorry. I forgot.
Very considerate of you, Toby.
I'm attempting to, anyway. The cooldown timer, it used to be that you'd use it, it'd go for 4 seconds, and it would take 10 seconds to cool down before you could use it again. Now, it still lasts for 4 seconds, but it's only got a 1 second cooldown.
And so oh my god, I'm a god now!
They have also reduced what it takes to get to her ultimate status by 15%.
What?
And her ultimate no longer damages her.
Oh, thank goodness. This is now the best character ever. So has that update been released on console?
Her guns do more damage now, too, don't they? Just a little bit, I think. I think they tweaked it.
Maybe a little bit. She and Zenyatta got the most significant buffs.
So what you're saying is they took my favorite character and made her the best fucking character.
Well, they made her viable.
I was great with her before, sometimes.
A lot of people weren't playing her, though. The patch notes say, hey, we noticed a lot of people weren't playing as D.Va because of these things. Obviously, if in order to use her ult... It was pretty much a suicide tactic.
Yeah, you'd have to run behind a wall.
Well, they learned a lot from competitive, because in competitive, she wasn't being picked as often.
No. Now she is.
Yes, she... No, and she is... She has been buffed significantly. Zenyatta...
He got 50 more health, basically.
He got 50 more health. His attacks move a lot.
I couldn't play...
Faster.
I tried playing as Zenyatta. I couldn't do it. I was really bad.
I can't imagine him being good on console. Even slightly.
He's a weird healer in that he's very squish. He dies very easily.
Yeah, he has no armor. That's the problem, is he dies so fast.
He hits like a truck, though.
Yeah,
and that's what they did. They removed... He is now a slightly smaller truck when he hits you. But they get to you that much faster. He's a sport model truck when he hits you.
Okay.
And they gave him an extra 50 health, and he moves a lot faster when he passes into the iris.
So he dies in 2 hits instead of 1 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it really takes for Zenyatta.
I thought they nerfed, who's the guy with the arrows? Because I haven't played this game.
Hanzo. No.
Did they nerf his one-shot kill everything?
Well, no, because his one-shot kill is only if he hits you in the head.
If
he hits you in the head.
People are really good at shooting him. They did nerf, God, what the hell's the gunslinger guy's name?
McCree.
Yeah, McCree. They did nerf because everyone's
using... You give me crap for not playing the game.
Sorry.
You don't know anybody in this game.
I haven't played it.
Have you played this game, or are you lying about that too? Man, this went from I've been playing this game to we're giving you the full patch notes.
I don't play any other characters, and I actually haven't played in 2 months because a lot of other games came out. I've been playing Doom and other stuff.
Anyway, you started to talk about Anna.
Yes.
I think that's what you were originally trying to say something about. Let's talk about that and then move on.
So she is someone's mom. I hear.
She's Farrah's mom.
Oh, she's Farrah's mom.
And apparently Blizzard confirmed is Soldier 76's daughter. Or Farrah is the dad.
Weird. Wait, doesn't he look old?
He is, yeah.
He is old. Huh. So is Anna.
Okay.
So they're both 60.
She wears a hood, so I didn't...
Anyway, did you have any comments questions about her?
No, that's it. I just wanted to mention her. I thought it was interesting because from what I read, and you've obviously played her, she is basically a sniper, but instead of killing the enemy, she can snipe her own team and heal them?
She kills the enemy, too. It hurts the enemy or it heals a
Has
teammate.
Has that been done before?
Yeah.
I don't know in what games.
I think that's amazing.
In Borderlands, you weren't a sniper, but you could do a perk where you could shoot your own teammates and heal them.
Well, I just think it's nice that you can camp and heal your team instead of just camping and shooting the enemy. And you can do both, but obviously, being far away from the battle and keep healing your team, I think is really cool.
It's
a really cool tactic.
It's interesting because she's not a long-range sniper, not like Widowmaker.
Really?
Well, to get her scope up takes significantly longer than it does with Widowmaker. With Widowmaker, it's just point.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't take as long for Widowmaker's scope to come up, but she has charged shots. Anna does not have to charge anything. You can actually no-scope people for the same amount of damage as if you're scoping.
Well, and that's what I mean. Because of that, she's a little bit more mid-range. She doesn't require the distance, and is sometimes more useful to have in mid-range because then she can...
I pretty much just use her in no-scope.
Yeah, and that seems to be the playstyle. And a lot of people, she's also got a lot of different healing moves.
If she actually did more damage, I would probably be amazing with her, but the damage is kind of lame.
Because it's damage over time when she shoots an enemy, right?
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's just it kind of ticks down. Like, you hit somebody and it goes ch-ch-ch, and it doesn't last a long period of time, but it's not that much damage either, so.
I mean, she is, after all, a healer class. You wouldn't expect her to just wreck everything. Though I love the various nicknames that these characters have gotten. I love referring to her like as Gam Gam.
Wait, what nicknames?
Okay, Anna is essentially this affectionate grandmother that just kind of takes care of everybody on her
Let
team.
Let me shoot you with a healing, but oh, you're better.
Pretty much. So she's gotten the nickname of Gam Gam, and one of her attacks... No,
Soldier 76 is Dad.
Is Sexy Dad.
I haven't heard that. I don't know who you're playing
No,
with.
No, I'm sorry. Not Sexy Dad. Pepsi Dad.
Pepsi Dad.
Because his colors are Pepsi colors.
Okay. They are, yeah.
And then I personally have nicknamed Reinhardt Grandpa Rectangle.
He does look like a rectangle.
No,
right.
It's because of his defensive rectangle.
It is a big rectangle.
Yes, it is. So, and the other thing for Gam Gam is that one of her attacks puts the enemy to sleep. So anytime.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's
go to sleep. I'll take care of you. Pretty I wish much. You could put your own team to sleep. Just like, because you know better than they do, and then you can start healing them.
Nice.
it's like stop rushing into battle and dying. Go to sleep. Let me heal you now.
Mama knows best.
We keep playing. Every time I
play the game.
She'll never get play of the game.
Don't worry.
She'll never get play of the game by healing, which I think sucks. That play of the game should also be good for like defensive or healing, not just how many.
Mercy
people
gets
you kill.
Play of the game quite often. Actually,
yeah, Steve-O, level 99, part of the stream team, gets. Like play of the game all the
I've only
time.
Ever seen play of the game with like killing a bunch of people, not with healing.
They did redo the formula for play
oh,
of the
thank
game.
Thank goodness. That's good. I like that.
So it has been a bit different lately.
I kept getting it for self-destructing demon killing.
Tony and I
people.
Being members of the PC Master Race are more used to things that have been around for short periods of time.
Yeah, short periods of time. You forget this is the internet. It might as well have been a banana.
I at least know that it'll run on my console. If I don't build my computer properly, everything will just crash or overheat. It almost melted the other week.
I'm sorry, you got to remember, we are part of Nerdy Show.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the red lights of death on the 360? It's like it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's,
you're it's probably like, right.
Wasn't built right.
So moving on, Doug, what have you been up to, Doug?
My buddy Alvin and I made a tech demo for Spider Simulator.
Oh, God.
And it's
I can't
it's
believe you're
cool.
actually doing this. It's really amazing.
Yeah. I'll show you. I can pull up video to show you guys, but it's like it's video that I recorded on my phone of the computer screen.
This sounds terrible. Could you give us a couple of screenshots and we'll give
oh yeah I can get you some screenshots and the some of it's pretty terrible but the quality of it when you look at it because it was taken off of a computer monitor the quality isn't very good at all but it gets the idea across of like what we're dealing with
do you want to explain a little bit to people who may not have heard even
Spider Simulator is a game that we was Zip
not
you and I were on a while back and we were talking about virtual reality and what would be a great fun game and somehow. We came up with
I don't
this idea.
Think that the discussion was
somehow.
It'll be a great fun game.
No, we were talking about what would make a great fun
a
game, and then I
game.
Said, "You know, would be, then I said, you know, it would be really scary."
Oh,
is,
okay.
is this?
No,
I was
going to
say that
were,
wasn't the conclusion that we reached after nice
no,
fun
no.
game.
I'm also going to point out you were piggybacked by a certain other individual in this room who has an obsession with spiders coming out of places they shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We were both on that one. I think
we're all
Bore
discussing
was there too.
About spiders and. How horrible they are, and if there
go
was
ahead
a spider
and,
simulator.
Go ahead and press play on that.
Like a VR
video.
Spider simulator. Or am I watching? Oh my god. Really? Do you see this? Do you see this? I mean, I know
okay.
people at home can't
for,
see it.
For
but...
people at home, it's a spider
oh
on
god.
The floor
that's
getting
really
hit
good.
With a fly swatter.
Oh, Jesus, that's a lot of fucking
and,
spiders.
And this is meant to be in a virtual. In
yeah,
like,
eventually
yeah.
it'll. We're building it to hopefully make a tech demo that you can eventually play on the Vive or the Oculus.
It actually looks really good.
That's just the demo to see. That was just to
oh
see if it
god,
works.
Oh my god, this is horrific. There's swarms
yeah.
and swarms.
That's
and
the point.
They keep
swarms?
Coming.
Yeah.
Swarma.
There are swarms and swarms. fuck you, but also great job, but fuck you.
So we're working on that, and that's a lot of fun. Other than that, I have seen some movies, which we'll talk about if we start discussing movies.
When?
You know, and everyone's playing all these new games like Overwatch and Pokemon Go, and I'm catching up with games from
I wouldn't call Pokemon Go a game, per se.
But
I know Boar loves it.
It's tricking people into exercise is what it's doing.
Yeah.
But thanks to the Steam sale, I've now I finished Spec Ops: The Line. That was a new game to me.
Ooh, that game.
Star Wars Republic Commando, I played for the first time. That's an even older game.
That one's
wow.
Rough.
No, wow, yeah. That one is really old.
And it is really rough trying to, even first off, trick your computer into playing at a resolution that is anywhere near playable.
Steam made it fairly easy, but whatever.
I remember that game having amazing graphics.
But, not anymore.
But at the time,
but that's me remembering way back when.
Remembering the Xbox.
I'm positive at the time, not just the graphics, but the gameplay was probably really cool too, because you could send your team to do this. It was like a really good version of Rainbow Six from that time period.
I mean, I remember GoldenEye 64 having amazing graphics. And then you go back and play it, and you go, I can't see if that's a door or someone shooting me.
But for the time, it was great. What else? I started to play the Game of Thrones Telltale game.
How is that, by the way? Because I haven't.
It's pretty good.
I heard it's really good.
I've only seen the first season of Game of Thrones, and I liked it, but I just haven't had the time in my life just to catch up on Game of Thrones at this point. So I was a little worried going into it. Like, do I have to know anything? You don't have to know anything. If you don't know Game of Thrones, you don't have to know anything going in to play the game. And by the end of the first episode, I'm like, oh, is this just going to be a bunch of talking? Like, well, if I do a favor for you, then you'll owe me, and then you'll have to do this. And I'm like, dude, I'm sick of. I hate that
full
crap.
Frontal all over.
No, in fact, it's pretty tame compared to the nudity and violence. There hasn't been much of that yet, but by the end of the first episode, I was like, okay, they made me care. Like,
how many times did you
care.
Die? Because I hear you can die a lot in that game.
Well, I don't want to spoil, but there are times where you're playing the game and you're like, okay, this is the direction it's going. Then you die. And you're like, oh shit, no, it's this other guy that we're playing. Because you bounce back and forth between all the members of this family. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well then, I guess that was just to trick me and to make me think that was the guy, but it's really, this is the guy, that guy does. Ah, shit! So it is kind of Game of Thrones. It really is Game of Thrones. So it's, I'd recommend it to anyone who likes the Telltale style games of decision making and story
not
building.
Me.
Yeah, it is not a game. Like, it is not, there's no gameplay other than choosing what people say and where you want the story to go.
Of course, I made the mistake of playing the Back to the Future one for my first Telltale game, and that turned me off from them forever. Okay. I'm told that that's the worst one, but I still don't want to go back and try it.
No. Jurassic Park is the worst one.
Okay.
Walking Dead stuff's good.
Walking Dead's really good. I liked Back to the Future, but because that was an early effort from them, it didn't quite strike that balance between story and the point-and-click puzzle stuff, but I still really liked it.
Do they have the option?
AJ LoCascio did such a great job as fucking Marty McFly.
Oh, yeah. Spot on.
I remember him. We hung out with him for a bit.
Yes, you did,
E3.
You fuck.
We got him hooked up with a go-go dancer. Anyway.
What?
I don't remember that. When we went to Mike and I were at E3, we set up, there was this go-go dancer named Domo. And she was obsessed with Marty McFly. We're like, well, we got the guy who does his voice for this new game. And he's like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, my God. And they went out, like, on some dates. And I think he hit that. It didn't work out, obviously. But me and Mike did that. So okay. We're really proud of it.
Brought a little happiness into the world.
Yeah, we brought some happiness to some guy who does Marty McFly's voice who really needed it. So
fair enough.
But are there options in the Telltale game, like Walking Dead, where you can be silent and not say
anything? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I use that a lot because
there's
so many times where it's like they're like, you tell me this right now. Are you on this side or this side? I'm just like silent, and they're like, you'll pay for your indifference. And I'm like, fuck you, I'm not doing any of that. Like
I played Walking Dead saying absolutely nothing and trying to get everyone killed.
Walking Dead, you like can actually do stuff though, but this Game of Thrones is all about the politics.
Sides.
It's all just picking sides and manipulating people. So silence is way more of a valid option in this game than in any other Telltale game so far. Mm. But if you're not into just chit chat or politics of a magical fantasy world, then don't play the game.
Was that chit chat?
Yeah. Because that's all it is. It's just like talking heads the whole time. But
the band.
Yeah,
I would play that.
They should make a Talking Heads Telltale game.
Oh my God,
this is not my beautiful house.
Well, Tony, what have you been up to?
I have been working forever.
I mean, that's generally what
we've
all
been doing.
Yeah,
I am still just.
You haven't been on the show for a while, so you've got quite a long span of time to catch us up on. And the best thing that you've got for us is working forever.
He does work a lot.
That's pretty much all I've done.
We're all just wage slaves.
I've been playing a lot of Overwatch because Overwatch is fucking great, and I've been playing with the stream team along with the folks from formerly Derpy Show, maybe Derpy Show again. It's a lot of fun playing with those guys. It's where a lot of these nicknames keep popping up.
Did you ever play the new Doom?
I did. I played and beat Doom and thoroughly enjoyed that game.
It made me want to go back and like do all the challenges. That's how much I like it.
It reminded me how much I used to enjoy heavy metal and how it can be applied properly to a game instead of just butt rock.
I agree.
Butt rock.
Yes. Rock that sounds like somebody's ass is playing. It is where you hold the pick between each cheek and then just
fart step.
Yeah, fart step.
I'm going to the club and listen to some fart
with
step.
With farts wide open.
Oh, Jesus, no.
That's butt rock. With farts wide cheeks wide open.
This coach no. is coming.
This is a no-singing zone. This is a no-singing zone.
Been watching movies, been watching TV shows.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
I have not.
Everyone tells me that show is... It's like the best Steven Spielberg.
Has
and
anyone
Stephen
here
King
watched
ever.
It? I don't think anyone here has
I've
watched
it. I've seen about 2 episodes, okay. And people are talking about it as much as Game of Thrones right now because it's kind of in the style of Steven Spielberg and like Stephen King films, but it's mm-hmm. better than anything they've ever done.
No, I mean, it's from Trench described it as crack for your eyes.
It's amazing, and you know, it takes place in the 80s, but the director said part of his influence for there's like mm-hmm. a place called the Underworld or the Upside Down World was Silent Hills.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so, I it's one of those things that I intend to watch, but time is one of those things that I just don't have.
If anyone here is anybody, you've got to watch Stranger Things.
I'm going to watch it, but I was cautious because it looked so much like Super 8.
I agree.
And
no,
Super
I agree.
8 looked so much like E.T. I'm mm-hmm. like, I feel like I've seen this already
you
knocked
you
off.
No,
so
good. I saw an episode and I was like, you know, my girlfriend Derek was watching it, and I was just like, oh, what is this crap? Oh, some kids. It was an 80s themed thing. It looks like a Steven Spielberg. And I started watching it. I was like, this is awesome. What is this? I need to start over. And I never started over, but it was so good.
Oh, that's another thing that actually just rebooted. Haha. Kind of second season of Mr. Robot just started airing, and I have been digging into that.
I never watched Mr. Robot.
Anybody in the room watch Mr. Robot?
I've heard great things. A few episodes of the first season. It's pretty good.
I watched and devoured the first season. It is one of my favorite TV shows just because of how well everything fits. I'm a big fan of any show that seems like it was meticulously planned.
What's
even
it about, it, by the way? People keep telling me and I keep forgetting.
Anarchy. It is about...
So like Sons of Anarchy?
Not Sons of Anarchy. More on the Fight Club sort of anarchy, like breaking down the establishment and showing
the
masses...
So the good kind of anarchy.
Yeah, the good kind of anarchy. The freedom to the people! And the first season was, in my opinion, tremendous. I really appreciate... Again, I like things where all the puzzle pieces seem to fit. Even if you don't know what the picture's forming, you can tell that there is somebody at the helm who knows what the fuck they're doing. Or at least how to take a seemingly... non-true thing and kind of tweak it to where it does fit. Breaking Bad to me was a good example of that, where they'd have like something that they would set up in one episode and it would pay off like seasons later. And even though it might not have been the payoff that they were planning on doing at first, they made it seem as though that's what we were thinking all along, baby.
Do you think we need that kind of, you know, righteous anarchy right now in our country?
I think you should watch Mr. Robot for your answer.
Okay.
And decide for yourself.
I think we've got
a little bit of that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not delve into reality. That's depressing.
We're here to not talk about reality. We're here to talk about everything that isn't reality.
Speaking of depressing, Boar, what you been up to?
What? What?
Speaking of a miserable piece of shit, what have you been up to?
I'm just going to go cry instead of tell you what I've been up to now.
Crying, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, not yet, but, you know, now, maybe. I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft lately because they released the pre-expansion patch, which they always put in a patch before any expansion to kind of, like, ease you into it because they completely change the way all of your characters play.
So this is the move before you get the insertion.
So you've got a few weeks to get used to how your characters play before they launch you into, like, a completely new, like, world.
Did they raise the level
of
cap?
Of Warcraft. I had to.
Can you get to 99 yet? Can you ride a unicorn?
I don't think I've seen any unicorns.
Dude, it's been like 20 years and you can't get to level 99.
I'm curious as to why the fuck you can't ride a unicorn with everything else that's out there.
The level cap's being raised to 110.
Oh, you can go
when
past
Legion
99.
Comes out. Okay. Yeah, right now it's 100.
It took a long... Brandon, you got to understand, it took a long time for them to be able to have that third digit on your level.
Dude, I remember when I got to 60 and I would just dance in the towns with my sexy female necromancer. And, you know, whatever.
There's no necromancers in the game. This is all a lie. Anyway, the other thing that I've been up to is...
I meant warlock. Same thing.
Yeah, one conjures magic from the dead realm. The other conjures the dead.
Yeah, whatever. I was a skeleton. Same thing.
So you were doing a sexy skeleton dance?
Yeah, it was a sexy female skeleton. And you take off all your clothes and be like, "How is it?" I wish they made sound effects, by the way.
You can't be a skeleton either. Were you undead?
Yeah, I was a skeleton lady.
This story changes with every sentence.
I was a skeleton lady.
It's more about fact checking.
And I summoned a rock monster with green fire on him, which I think was from the Legion. That was my best summon. I summoned a giant rock golem with green fire all over.
If you got to level 60, maybe you summoned an infernal.
I did, and I could do two of them, and I could also ride a little black horse they gave me at like level 40.
I was a male undead warlock, but I was role playing a female skeleton dancer.
Naked.
Who was trying to put my undead kids through college.
Yeah. Who was summoning the Legion. Oh, you know, I remember that it would get out of hand. You could do something and lose control of it and it would start rampaging and start killing things or attacking people. Is that still a thing? Is that the right game?
You can't do that anymore.
No. Oh, that was really fun. You'd like summon them in a city and you'd lose control over it because they were one of those summons where you could actually
I think
lose
you
control
could do
it.
Stuff like that with a Doomguard, maybe?
Maybe I summoned...
No. You're thinking of enslaving because you could like take over... Like an existing monster?
Well, I think
have them be your pet temporarily?
Well, I remember one of my best summons. Like, I think you had to summon this thing, and it would be on a rampage, and you'd have to enslave it. That's you'd have to use that skill right afterwards, or he'd try to kill you.
Yeah, I think that was the Doomguard.
Okay. Well, that was
fun. That
would
also sacrifice a random person. It used to, anyway. Sacrifice a random person to summon it.
I'm okay with that. So, whatever.
Because you all had to click a portal. Like it required like five people to click this portal.
Okay.
And then one random person would die, and it would bring this demon up.
I just remember it was fun as hell.
So when you say one random person, do you mean one random player?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, one random player would die because of it.
Like their account got deleted. It was serious. It was a serious summon.
No, anytime, it was a game breaking monster that
anytime
you could summon.
We talk about this, I just keep thinking back to that fucking mech game on the Xbox. That
Mech Warrior?
No, not Mech Warrior.
That's the only Armored Core.
No, not Armored.
Those are the
Core.
Only two that exist. I'm
no,
sorry.
It was there was Capcom, the one with a $100 controller that was a cockpit.
Oh, I always wanted to. I found that in a pawn shop once.
Heavy something?
No,
what was it called?
It had like an eject button and like all these actual switches. And keys, you would die permanently.
Yeah, it would delete your save file.
Yeah.
If you did not eject out of this mech at the time.
Actually had to open a little case and hit the button and like do, there's so,
why
like
can't
100
I remember
buttons.
The name
or
of
you
that.
Could just leave the case open all the time.
Probably because it's like 15 years old.
And because it didn't
old.
Sell very well, it eventually got a sequel for the Kinect, and the sequel for the Kinect was
I'd search for
terrible.
It, but I'm afraid that I'd lock this computer up.
Yeah, don't,
so let's
don't
not,
do
let's
it.
Not do that. Let's just move on to what else you've been doing.
I've also finished The Witcher 3, like the first expansion of that. So I finished The Witcher 3, and then I moved on to the first expansion. And I finished that, so now I'm working
like
on the last
blood
expansion.
And wine or?
Blood and Wine.
The
I
first
think is the
one,
last one,
the first one was Hearts of Stone. Blood and Wine is the one that I'm working on.
That's
right.
Like
we
the
stop
major.
Adding blood into the subtitle of everything, blood. Like Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
Blood and Sand.
Well, that's
blood
one good wine. Example.
Blood and there's like blood and there. You're not seeing the this is current fad of every type of fantasy
civilization.
Thing.
Blood in progress.
What was it? The Blood Dragon from Far Cry, like all that
okay,
stuff.
Okay, you can't include Blood Dragon from Far Cry in this list because that was done so tongue in cheek it practically threatened to rupture.
That
someone's
is true.
Skin.
It was a satire of that type.
The
of
new
thing.
God of War is called Blood and Childcare.
It should be.
Placenta and parental problems.
But have any of the rest of you played Witcher 3 at all?
Yes, I've beaten it.
Oh, okay.
Got my little
did you play
feline,
the expansion?
I got the best feline suit. No, I have them all, but I haven't... It's going to take a long... It's a huge expansion.
I know, that's why I asked if you
it's
played it.
It's a whole
it.
World.
So you don't have Grandmaster feline armor.
No.
See?
Sorry.
I
told you, you have to get
that's
it.
Like starting Fallout over again. Am I mentally prepared to start a whole nother world in the Witcher world? Like universe?
Well, the first expansion takes place in places that you're used to.
But the new one is a whole nother area. Just as big as like
he's
the
he's too
other
busy role-playing as
it
a goblin.
Is very,
dance
it is very
town square.
I'm a goblin dancer in the Witcher. I'm Geralt role-playing as a goblin
I
dancer.
Guarantee you that if you go back and play it, you will enjoy it thoroughly.
No, I promise you, I will enjoy it too. But it's the thing, like, do I have time?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
do.
You do.
You're right.
There's the reason. That's the reason I still haven't finished Witcher 3 or Fallout 4.
Because you work
because
for
I,
years and years on end without seeing the light of day.
Pretty much. And both of these games seem so great, but
they
it's
are.
Such an investment of time when I can just hop over to Overwatch at this point and be like, here's 10, 20 minutes of my life that I can just...
Here's a game that has no story, but you thought was going to.
Yeah, you know, that's what a lot of people did with Team Fortress 2, is they'd go to these Steam sale and you know buy all these games and then
not
end up
play
only
them.
Playing
Team Fortress 2.
So because I think that's sort of going to happen with Overwatch, too.
It's, and again, credit to Blizzard. It's such a small investment of time. You sign up for a match. It tells you exactly how long it's going to take to get in there. Match takes maybe 10 minutes and you're done.
Do they add new maps yet? With the
no,
new...
Not yet.
Not yet. Come on, guys. Like, you have like 10 maps. You can maybe add 10 more. That's really not that
They long. Will.
They
Better.
Will.
They will.
It's been like 6 months.
And you'll get them like 8 months from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get them
Just
next week.
Let's not talk about how I have a console versus PC.
And the... Has anybody watched BoJack Horseman? That's another thing
Not,
I've been watching
yeah, the
lately.
First two seasons. The third one just came out.
Third one just came out.
David Arquette.
I started into it. I haven't finished it, but it's pretty good.
I still have only watched the first season of the Christmas special because the show is a little too real for me.
It's no, about your life, Tony.
Kind of.
Your fame and your fall from fame and your
listen,
love
we're not,
life.
We're not going to get into
your
those
alcoholism.
Days when I used to be a horse. We're going to leave those days
A drunk
behind.
Horse.
A drunk horse, yes. That's why I only drink Monster these days, to remind me of the monster I used to be.
I think I'd rather be drunk than drink a Monster energy drink right now.
I'm going to be punishing my liver one way or the other.
All right, well.
What would Cap do if he was here? Time to move on to the next topic, guys. Keep it going.
Yeah, what would Cap do?
He'd right be like, now? Anyone see Star Trek? That's my
That's your, is that your segue to
Star
Trek?
Anyone see Star Trek?
Why do you sound like this guy?
Know. Let's not go
Before
this
we move into all the movies and...
Because
trailers and whatnot.
Yeah, as we're recording this, we are in the throes of SDCC. It's why Cap's not here. And oh Jesus, there's been a lot out of that.
All right, go ahead and just finish the segue for me.
Sorry.
Doug, you have looked into the Megabots battle. Is that correct?
It was just a quick update. That's sort of a community update of like what's been going on. Not a lot of news because their update was like, we can't tell you a lot because of like, you know, contracts and stuff, but rest assured, a bigger update's coming soon and the battle is still on. They're still gonna, you know, everything's going according to plan. They just want to let you know that your money went to
that they're
making it better. And, they are going to, they hope to announce the location of the fight, very soon.
Guys, what's Megabots? As you all stare at me. No, seriously. Are they okay, bots that are
it's
large?
The giant robot battle between America and Japan.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yes.
And America thinks they're going to win?
I'm going to put money on America.
We're just going to put a V8 engine in a blender and launch it. Like, and they're going to have a sophisticated robot that says, hello, how do you do? And then flamethrowers come out of the eyes.
You know, if it's a Blendtec blender, I would put my money on that.
it's a Vitamix.
I'm putting my money on America because they're building it to win, not to look cool. Whereas Japan is like...
They're trying to build a commercial-grade giant robot. We're trying to build a robot that's going to kick the fuck
out
of
So we're going to put assault rifles all over it because that's what America does.
Well, no. There will be melee combat. Part of the terms between... Japan only agreed to the fight if we said it was melee combat would be involved.
They're just going
to
have a giant mech.
Okay.
So are we. That's the fight. No. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Pacific Rim, sir. Whose robot was left standing? Was it America? Or was it Japan?
I listened to the guy's voice. He was not American.
Well, in the real fight that's going to happen, they don't they haven't announced what place it's going to be yet, but they're locking it down now.
I really
they
want like in the middle of the Pacific on like some kind of a
was
that,
they
platform.
Said the problem with doing it overseas would be that if they'd have to ship it.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive to ship it by air. It would be like they would
the entire the, budget they raised through
pretty much. Yeah, it would
it's
be just
be
to
on
ship
the
it.
Wait,
top
wait, wait.
Of them.
Are you going to say that they're going to do the battle on a ship?
Well, they said the problem with doing it anywhere near the ocean or transporting it by a tanker would be the salt water would sort of start to corrode because it would take like a month to ship it across
well,
the
they
ocean.
Well, they should build a robot that doesn't corrode from salt water. Thank you.
They're working on solutions around it. So
or they should
we'll
learn
see.
How to make a box that, you know, doesn't let a bunch of air in.
That's
like an airtight
I believe
box.
That's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out a way
or
to
maybe
ship
some
it via,
sort of a plastic coating that could,
gonna,
I don't know.
Also bringing in giant machinery made for combat. Into Japan, the customs is a kind of a problem.
Which is why they need a sponsorship from Tupperware. First and foremost, seals freshness in. Second, shipping containers.
Would it be in bad taste to have it at Midway?
No, why?
Because the Battle of Midway, World War II, America and Japan,
I think
it was pretty bad.
No,
it's before my time, I'm sorry.
And it'd be like an anniversary fight or something. You know? They could work it
Midway
into
makes, sort of Midway makes video games, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No, the
they could
island.
Bring historical awareness to the island.
Or Iwo Jima. That'd be awful.
We should do it on an Jesus. Island contested by China that Japan thinks they own.
Yeah. No, but so they're gonna announce it pretty soon. It might be stateside. I don't know yet, but they say just more announcements are coming. They wanted you to know that they're still alive. They've still been working on the robot nonstop, and they're going to be revealing lots more.
I really hope
very,
it's like
very
Robot
soon.
Jocks, the movie. Man,
oh, meanwhile, Japan is still pretty quiet in terms of like what they've been cooking up.
Well, they're always quiet. They're Japanese. Mm-hmm. They're very respectful.
God damn it!
What else has been going on in San Diego Comic Con?
I didn't
SDCC.
Know. So
we
I
didn't
don't
even
know.
Start on that yet. What do you mean? What else?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought he said that was an update during SDCC.
They were not there. No, this was them saying, "Hey guys, remember you gave us a lot of money? Don't worry about it.
I thought they were there and they're like, this is an update."
Right, right.
Well, speaking of what I just said,
sure, go ahead.
No, I don't know anything about San Diego Comic Con.
Did you see any of the trailers for that?
No, man. I want you to describe them to my mind,
man. We're supposed to discuss the trailer, not describe
Cap's not
it again.
Here. Nobody hit me with a stick like he normally does.
All right. Did you see trailers for any of the following? Justice League.
No.
Wonder Woman.
No.
The new Doctor Strange trailer.
No.
Kong, Skull Island.
No.
Defenders.
I think I've seen a pattern. No, why don't we just go through and start talking about them and just ignore Brandon?
Yeah, sure. Someone take over the show and just start talking.
First and foremost, I need to give a tip of the fucking hat to DC's movie division because the trailers for Wonder Woman and Justice League filled me unironically with hope and excitement for these films.
Just like how Jurassic World did.
No, I didn't give a shit about Jurassic World. I really didn't. Justice League looks fucking good. Like, I want to see this movie, and I can't believe I'm saying that about a DC film.
They do say never trust a trailer, though.
I was able to trust the trailers.
Never trust a trailer!
I was able to trust the Batman vs. Superman trailer for the train wreck that was. So, the tone, even though the colors are still as muted as they've ever been because nobody knows what the fuck a paintbrush looks like, it's all just blue. The tone seems fun. There's levity. There's humor. Barry Allen is a goofball.
So you're saying it? Who's directing it?
I think it's still Zack Snyder.
No, it can't be because everything would be one color.
It is. It's all blue.
Oh,
I told you that. Yeah. That's what I led with, Brandon. It's monochromatic here, buddy.
I thought you were leading me into the Justice League trailer. With
his brain shut down temporarily when
the tone, did. The emotional tone they're going for with the dialogue and like the music and everything. I'm like, oh, that sounds like it would be fun, but the visuals were so.
They were still
opposite of what it was. I was just left confused.
Well, yeah, I thought you were going to tell me that they actually did something different with the trailer you saw, that it was actually colorful and fun. But
no. Oh, no. No, not that one. Wonder Woman
looked pretty good.
With sepia tone, but it looked.
It's just like they film a movie and they like hit one filter
button.
But
that lasso could glow.
Yeah. That was one glowing lasso.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Fucking credit to them, because unlike so many other films where they're like, no, we cannot show the actual costume. The costume is too goofy. It's too colorful. This is fucking stupid. They're like, no, she's going to have a glowing goddamn lasso, and she's going to be wearing a skirt, and she's going to kick the fuck out of everybody around her.
Well, I wouldn't see the movie if her lasso didn't glow. So.
Well, now you can.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a period piece, and
okay, sorry.
Not that kind of period,
goddamn it.
It's not meant. It's not maternal menstruation, the film. It's
thank,
it's Wonder
thank goodness
Woman,
for that.
And it's I think it's World War One.
It is World
where
War
it's
One.
At.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks fun. The Steve Trevor aspect, the kind of gender politics that existed in that era, seem to be handled with the same sort of levity and joy that could make them not tasteless.
Isn't her father like Hades or something?
Zeus.
Yeah, Hades. The same thing.
Yeah,
I know Hades has something to do with them at some point. In the
Wonder
comics,
Woman sent from hell.
It's supposedly Zeus. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure her dad Hades. There's a man named Hades.
It's a twist.
It's the devil.
It could be. It could be a twist. Yeah, it could be the sensitive guy.
It's Mephisto.
That's wrong continuity.
It's Thor.
But holy fuck, them trailers. Them trailers look great, and kudos to DC. I want to see these films.
In like what, 2018?
17, actually. Next year. Next year we get to see this shit, and I will be either proven to once again just be a hopeful jackass
chump.
Who winds up being the chump as opposed to the girl.
I mean, I won't remember this conversation, but everyone else here will. So.
You know, I think
if only it was being recorded in some way, shape, or form, so we could point back and say, Tony, you're an asshole.
I think the trailer that I liked the most was Doctor Strange.
Oh, shit. I want that movie in my life so bad right now.
You know, all the promo photos they released for it and the first teaser, I'm like, you know, Bendy Toots, he looks okay.
You didn't like that first, like, teaser trailer?
It was okay. It didn't blow me away. But seeing him in this trailer, we're doing the magic hands and all the glowing, I was like, all right, I'll be goddamned if he doesn't look
in
the part.
Costume.
Like, yeah.
The whole, like, you know, for centuries we have been waiting
I really hope he says magic hands in the movie.
Magic hands!
Magic hands go!
I wouldn't be surprised. Marvel does that.
I still think that the movie looks like they really wanted Christopher Nolan to direct it. Like, it looks really Inception.
Nolan-esque,
yeah. Yeah, like let's take everything we like about other films and put it in this, which I guess is how most movies should be made, I guess. If it's, yeah. if it works in another film and it's
Why
good,
not
use
take it.
It.
Yeah.
But
so long
but
as you it, do it right.
But it made me excited to see it, so.
And I'm a big fan for like gags in films, and I really enjoyed the
Wi-Fi joke.
Yeah,
yeah.
What is this supposed to be? My mantra? It's the Wi-Fi password. We're not monsters.
Yeah.
It's I want that film. Boar, what you think about that Doctor Strange?
I think it was pretty. I don't know anything about Doctor Strange.
Neither do I.
I thought
everything
great.
I know about Doctor Strange, I learned from the Venture Brothers.
So I'm probably not.
Well,
gonna...
he was a pivotal part of the Infinity War, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he actually was the only thing that saved everyone and could like teleport.
Spoiler alert
to Thanos or something.
He's a
when
major
everyone
player.
Was dying. Yeah,
he's a major player in the Marvel universe.
Like they can't actually win without him.
Yeah,
in at least in the comics, I believe.
Well, so. Because he's the master of all things mystic.
He's Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
I mean, or he will at least get there in the movie, or sort of.
Even though in the trailer he was sort of like the baby sorcerer that they were all training.
What's his origin? It's his origin.
It's it is an origin story, and we're looking at the.
This is the next
becoming,
movie, right?
This is the next
Marvel.
Next Marvel movie. We've got. No,
and speaking,
when's Thor Ragnarok coming out? No, Doctor Strange is this year. Thor Ragnarok is next year.
But I was going to say, on the note of other Marvel heroes.
Oh, Jesus, who, the Netflix series.
Well, other Marvel heroes who happen to be white men who learn the ancient mystic ways of another country and are better at it naturally than anyone else.
That is a really weird way to frame that, Doug.
There's the teaser for Iron Fist.
Which...
looks
I'm
cool.
Digging. I'm digging.
You know,
it's sticking with
the trailer.
Character.
Doesn't really show you too much,
right? All the Netflix stuff. There's rarely been a Netflix teaser or trailer for a Marvel thing that actually shows you anything, unless it's like the week before it comes out.
Like we got the teaser for the Defenders, which is where all these smaller series
just
have been
text
going.
On the
and
screen.
It is just a ransom note. It's like, hey, look, remember these letters from the logo?
It's happening.
Hey, our graphic design team did a really great job.
Well, the Defenders
guys,
is when is basically like the Avengers of the Marvel TV series.
Yeah,
I think that it's a little bit weird that they're already teasing the Defenders like that, because we haven't seen Iron Fist at all yet, and Luke Cage has just been sort of an accessory in the Jessica Jones.
Well, his show comes out in September.
Okay.
And that
when does Defenders come out?
Next year, like late next year.
After Iron Fist, I hope?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I hope that all the others.
Oh, yeah. And maybe even
first.
Maybe even after Daredevil. Well, I guess Daredevil season 3 is going to happen after the Defenders. I don't know. But either way, they clearly got an assembly line and a plan going, and
it's seeming to fit together. And the fucking Luke Cage trailer
was pretty cool.
It was just him moving through a hallway. I love the actor they've got playing him is fucking fantastic. The direction seems to be on point for it. The tone that they're striking seems to be as dark as every other Marvel Netflix series, but this one, because he's invulnerable, you're a little bit less like, oh, somebody's going to throw their head on a spike type deal. Or at least so far. We'll see.
I'm
how
just
that
anxious
lasts.
To see him like cut loose and just beat the shit out of some bad guys.
Well,
you know? So
he did do that in this trailer.
Right.
You saw him use a car door to crush somebody.
Which I'm about to say, he goes in there with a car door like to protect him from bullets. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You don't need that. It's like, but then he wraps it around somebody.
And he's using
it. Oh, yeah. I was like, why would he need that?
Yeah.
Now, he was just using it, I think, less because it's kind of like.
Maybe bullets still hurt.
It's like being punched, but you're not going to die from it. Yeah. It still hurts.
Yeah. The way I look at it, it's rain. Nobody actually mind. You know, you don't melt from getting wet, but you still use an umbrella.
I love they show the clip, the dude punches Luke in the face and his hand breaks. Like, in slow motion, it doesn't even move. It's good. Well done.
I'm actually curious as to who is going to be the one to assemble, like, the Defenders, because they're not going to cooperate. They're not going to work together. There's going to be someone who's, like, not superpowered who's going to bring them together.
Maybe Iron Fist or Daredevil. I don't know.
You think?
Probably.
So I don't even think, because Daredevil doesn't want to work with anyone.
It'll be Foggy.
He's in charge of the Defenders.
If it's anybody, it's probably going to be Iron Fist, because Iron Fist and Luke Cage have a history of working with each other.
Right.
The Luke Cage-Jessica Jones connection will bring those two together.
It's Agent Coulson or whatever his name
Agent
is.
Coulson.
Agent Coulson?
Coulson, yeah, whatever.
I would love to see Clark Gregg show up in a Netflix TV series.
I've got to assemble another less strong team, but I need him on the ground here in his kitchen, so.
Avocados, assemble! I mean Defenders!
Defenders deconstruct. No, that's not right. I was looking for something with alliteration, guys. It was my first day on the job.
It's just funny how it's all like Hell's Kitchen. All these heroes of Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen is not very big in reality.
It's like three square blocks.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the Marvel Hell's Kitchen is awesome, and the real Hell's Kitchen has been what's the term for when rich people start to move in and take over?
Gentrify.
That's what it's become now. So it's not even like it is on the show. But whatever.
They let's face it. In the first season of Daredevil, he actively fought against the gentrification of Hell's Kitchen.
That is true. And also, we're not living in a world where aliens invaded, so that probably did a lot of damage and changed
the economics. That's exactly something that a sheep would say.
Or a lizard man. Like, oh, yeah, it was all planned.
Them goddamn lizard man, I tell you what.
Underground radio.
The government did want to bomb. They did want to nuke Manhattan, so maybe something else at play there.
I don't know if that was because of the aliens or just because they were tired of Manhattan.
Probably
people sitting there going like, man, Manhattan's the best place in the fucking world.
Just sketch it. Shake it.
So, I mean, any other trailers? There was
The Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh.
And you guys have not seen the trailer for this?
I don't know why this needs to even exist.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, it's so bad.
What's the point?
So bad. It is a TV movie. It's a fictitious TV movie about the actual temple. Where the real Olmec is.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Is it a Tomb Raider movie?
No.
Is Angelina Jolie?
No. It's not even half... It's not even...
Is there a talking face?
There is a talking Olmec, yeah.
Is there a Shrine of the Silver Monkey?
Oh, yeah. And it's all just jokes about how they can't put it together because it's so difficult. It's awful.
Is this like a PG movie?
Here's the thing. It is for children. This is a TV movie for children. I don't know which children it's trying to get interested in it because this show is definitely before their time. Like, the target audience is like 12 years old.
And we're 30-something years old, or some of us, and we're the audience
we're the ones
who watched it growing up.
We watched that show as kids.
There should be, like, some blood and gore in it.
No. I wouldn't even go that far.
I want an R-rated Legend of the Hidden
Temple.
This is
a Nickelodeon TV movie, so it is made for children. But the age group that it's aimed at never watched the show. So all these in-jokes of how, oh, the Shrine of Silver Monkey, this thing is so hard to put together. And, oh, now we have to cross the river by doing the paddle. Oh, it's the steps of knowledge. Like, there's these shots in the trailer where there's, like, these little kids. It's three kids going through the temple. They're lost in it. And one kid is, like, the Jurassic World semi-autistic Asperger's kid who knows everything about the temple. And it's like, these are the steps of knowledge. Oh, my gosh, you guys. And they're all like, what? Whatever. I'm like... How does he know any of this? This show was off the air 10 years before he was born. And unless his parents bought Games and Sports Network, you know, for over cable, and he binge watches it and like DVRs it, there's no reason for him to know it.
And you know what? I can see why his parents would have done that, just so that when he was telling his friends that he had gas, all of his friends could have made fun of him.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, even if you were a kid and you did watch the show, all the pop culture trivia on the Steps of Knowledge...
Completely irrelevant.
It wouldn't make
today.
Any sense.
Oh my god, I hope that they do that and there's pop culture trivia, but it's from like early 90s.
That would be funny. That would be great.
And it's like, it's not updated at all.
But other than that, it just looks like B movie. Yeah, it's more like C movie. It's like Sci Fi Channel original. Yeah, it's like C list, D list. I just don't know who it's for. It's clearly not for anyone our age. And I don't know which
kids. It's clearly not for anyone.
That's what I'm saying. It's not for anyone. I don't get it. It was just such a disappointment. They could have, if you were to make him for our age, it would have been like a cool badass, like, oh no, the show was based on a real legend. Here's the real legend. They even got Kirk Fogg to come back and be in the movie.
It should have been a documentary.
He's in the movie playing himself. He's not playing like a fictitious guy who's actually the real adventurer who discovered the temple. He's the TV show host.
Really?
Yeah.
They're trying to be meta?
No, they are, but it doesn't make sense because the actual Hidden Temple. So he was the host of Legends of the Hidden Temple, the TV show. Mm-hmm. Now his day job is working at the theme park built on top of the actual Hidden Temple. As like hosting the live studio show there, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
Now my question, and this is just a voice actor nerd in me, it's a yes no question: is the voice of Olmec still the guy who is?
We did not hear him speak.
Okay,
there's no way he's still alive.
Yes, he is. He's the voice of Appa on Appa. Avatar: The Last Airbender. Yeah,
Appa and Let's Olmec. Rock.
Yep, yep.
Just sorry. Okay. He's also Klaus the Fish in American Dad, but nobody cares about.
Really?
That show. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I care about that show.
I didn't know. So yeah, he's
Klaus the Fish. Why would people not care about American Dad?
Nah.
Just people tend to hear Seth MacFarlane's name on things these days. It's all right. Immediately turn off.
No,
it's all right.
He's I mean, American Dad is the only one that's legitimately still funny.
I mean, Seth MacFarlane helped get Cosmos made, so he's not a bad guy.
Family Guy took a nosedive into the ground and is now horrible, and Seth MacFarlane doesn't even like it. He doesn't even like Family Guy anymore. He's just contractually obligated to keep making it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, same thing for Simpsons, right?
Well, I think Matt Groening just still enjoys having money in non-canceled shows.
Or, you know, Futurama.
Well, you see, that's why Simpsons keeps going, so that he can remake Futurama. Yeah,
and speaking of Futurama...
Oh, dear God.
Oh, jeez. See how we did that, guys? That was natural. I ruined it. I'm sorry.
There is a trailer that also came out of SDCC for a live-action fan film.
Did that come out of SDCC? Because I saw it before it started.
I think it had some sort of airing at SDCC. I don't know.
Did they show the actual film there? Or what?
I thought it was a fan film, though.
All I know is that it looks horrifying.
There's fan film festivals they'll have at San Diego.
Okay. I did see some of it and was like, oh, God, what is happening in the world?
Because there are Matt Groening's designs should never be brought to life. that's the long and short of it.
It's like bringing Pokemon to life. They're horrific monsters.
Yeah, if they were real life as opposed to CG and cute, like they are in Pokemon Go.
You see a Weeping Bell? No.
Oh, no. Oh, dear God, no.
You just kill it. You use a flamethrower.
Okay.
Sorry.
Futurama.
Sorry, I got scared.
Yeah, because Futurama is so
But the
much
professor
better.
Legitimately so looks much scary.
Yeah.
Bender looks terrible. Leela looks... disgusting.
Zoidberg is
doesn't look as disgusting as he probably should.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't. The was there a nibbler? The dumpster.
Was there a nibbler?
I think he was in the background.
Okay,
like way in the background.
That all you need for nibbler is a. Plush.
And did we see Amy?
An Asian girl.
We
in
saw
a
Amy.
I feel like we got a glimpse of her, but
they can't really mess up
well.
Amy. I feel
or Fry for that matter.
Yeah, they're just normal people. I mean,
no
I,
Kif though. That's. Disappointing.
Is that Brannigan in it?
I'm sure he'll be in it, but we didn't see him. John Barrowman actually cosplayed as Zap Brannigan,
and it was perfect.
Yeah. Oh my god!
He should be in the fan film.
Amazing.
He should be in the fan film as Zap Brannigan. I gotta say,
he needs to be. He needs to
easily
ladies
be
and gentlemen
Zap.
He really does.
Yeah,
he really does. So before, I know we want to talk about some of the movies we've seen.
No, before we do that, we need to get into these shout-outs, because that seems like a thing Cap would do.
Cap's not here.
Hey, if you cock-block some of my segues, I'm going to do that to you.
Do we even need to do shout-outs?
It's a completely listener-supported network. That's the thing that Cap normally says at this point, letting them know that
we like money and all that stuff.
I've never seen the numbers, but Cap assures me they're there.
You guys are entirely responsible for our continued existence, so we thank you. And anybody who donates to us at a particular level that I am not as familiar with because I'm not Cap gets the opportunity to send us monthly shout-outs. And we have a few of those in front of us that we are going to read.
Who's got the first one?
That would be me.
Am I not surprised?
Everything's about you. Why don't you take it away? Lead the discussion.
I certainly will.
Read the biggest
Thank
and the
so
longest.
Kindly.
Who is this one from?
This is from Allison Parent, who writes, "Dear Nerdy Show Network."
Oh God, I keep forgetting my shoutouts.
All caps. So I apologize ahead of time for maybe your first drunk shout-out. I totally can't remember if you've had one already, maybe, 3? I'm at a party, and someone brought up D&D podcasts. It's a really tight, super cool kid party, obviously. And I totsily sang the praises of Dungeons and Doritos, and he's so about it now. Yay! A lot of exclamation points.
I don't know if any of this can be explained by Cap dictating with Siri this time. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's
says,
not a factor.
Says,
it's a drunk shout-out.
It's a drunk shout-out.
Yeah. That these are just
I'm just pointing out that most of the time typos are because Cap dictates to Siri, but this
For
time
some reason.
This is coming through mm-hmm. like this because that's what she wrote. Continue.
Anyway, I'm super amazingly glad you reached your first goal. I'm so glad to be a part of it. So many exclamation points.
Every Allison, sentence has like 5 exclamation
it's
points.
It's fucking great. But this also ribbed to me. I have a shout out.
It's remibded.
Remibded.
Yeah, read it. Jeez.
Remibded.
Come on.
Me. This isbed my shout out yet because this is ridiculous. But anyway, hashtag Team Nerdy Show. My shout out.
So now the shout out.
Now the actual shout out begins.
Yes, it does. Don't keep your dogs in hot cars this summer. 3! Shit's been hella warm and really awful. People keep leaving their dogs in cars and they suck. The people, not the dogs. Hot temperatures are intensely magnified within a vehicle, and it's 2016, and people are still locking their dogs in hot cars. Listeners on the Nerdy Show, Nerdy Show Network are intelligent, loving, and attractive people who would never act so terribly. So keep your eyes out while walking through parking lots this summer. ! Okay, that's it. I wasn't sure what to use my shout-out for this month, and my friend just told me to use it for the powers of good. Abd, if I had a listening audience to talk to, that would be something I would want them to know. It took me like 20 minutes to write that out without grammatical errors.
Many grammatical errors.
But not during the actual shout-out part.
Okay.
She was grammatically on point.
Mm-hmm. Have such a good day, and congratulations again. So happy!
Wait, what are they congratulating?
Because we reached the milestone.
Goal, oh, sorry.
By the way, Allison,
I was paying attention to the dog part.
Thank you kindly. That was great.
Which the milestone that we hit was the $1,000 a month on Patreon. So
which is
we are consistently getting.
That will not quite, but that does mean we will get consistent episodes of certain shows.
Can we get a new
That's
keyboard?
Actually having to double this goal.
I gotcha.
So.
Said it's not quite.
No, not quite in that it's not
that
even
it's
half.
Not even close, yeah.
Moving on.
Well, we need it now that I see what Cap operates on.
I had a train thought here, but
I was
you derailed it, and now I can't even words. Okay.
So who's got cerebral
I've got
paladin?
I've got the next one. But I just want to say that, yes, I see people that leave dogs. I work at a place where people leave their fucking dogs in the Florida heat with their doors and windows shut for like an hour. And I'm not even allowed to call the police where I work. So all I can do is tell someone else who's a customer.
Can you keep a ninja rock in your pants? Like, just keep a ninja rock in your pocket.
I always have something in my pants to break windows.
Is the ninja rock the ceramic from a spark plug? Is that what
Yes.
That is?
Right. Yeah. On. If you threw that at their window, it would just shatter and
the dog would escape, which is a better fate. Leave your fucking dogs at home if you're going grocery shopping in the 100 degree heat, you pieces of shit. Yeah.
And seriously, I know where you work. This makes me respect the people who shop there even less.
Yeah. I have the worst fucking customers in that town. Anyway.
Jackasses.
Yeah.
Cerebral Paladin.
Next shout out is from Cerebral Paladin, who slam dunked our support goal. He says, not drunkly, I've been listening since the old OCAD guest spots and season one of Dungeons and Doritos. Hours and hours of free entertainment. Which is why people should pay more for our show. I was gonna say, yeah, you're welcome for the hours of free entertainment. I've even won a contest here and there. Seeing how close you were to your 1,000 goal, your 1K goal, I had to step up and repay you. Thanks for years of entertainment. In light of that major step, I'm curious if I should record a statement for insertion into the upcoming episode, Skype in briefly while I'm in LA, or what? Because that's a big deal. I don't know if I was supposed to read that part, the last part.
Hey,
about,
you read it, though.
Do you have an answer?
And that's what,
do you have an answer
counts.
For that?
Well, we're here, we're recording, and we had no plans for that, so no.
He's
probably
no
listening to this now, and this is our reply. Sorry, buddy, but we're not that organized this week.
Here's what just record. Just record a statement. Record a statement, send it to Cap, you know, just do like a wave file.
And then
file,
Cap
whatever,
will listen to it, and then
and he'll
you
put
know,
it in
anything
an
else isn't guaranteed.
Yeah, just record it any way you want, as long as it's in the right format, send it to Cap. He'll do something with it.
Cap's a lot
but,
more
but
on
But
the
great
ball.
Thing that Cerebral Paladin did is he saw that we were not that far away from the support goal. I think we were like $11 away at the
is
time.
Is he the one that got us over the top, right?
And he stepped up. He donated that extra $11 and put us over the limit.
Thank you, Cerebral
Which
Paladin.
I believe there's some new things promised at the $1,000 mark. Like, we're going to start trying to bring back some of the shows that are on hiatus.
Like Pokeballs.
Yeah, Pokeballs of Steelix.
But one thing I want to point out to our listeners is that even though we have reached this goal, please, please consider donating even a dollar if you don't donate anything yet. Because even though we reach this goal, we're not too far off from where we were previously.
Yeah, we're still working on that computer from 1992.
Yeah, and half of the equipment is falling apart.
Yeah.
And
which we just found out today.
All of these shows take a significant amount of time to produce, and we are very limited on people, and paying people is expensive. So,
especially since
even though we are at this $1,000 a month,
it's not like we pocket any of it. It's like
100% of it goes back into the show. So the more you give, the more we can produce. But thank you to everybody who donates currently. We love you.
We do.
You got Wolf Boys, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Wolf Boys. Wolf Boy says, just want to give a shout out to my fellow Team Mystic peeps and ask all Pokemon Go trainers to be excellent to each other.
Nah, man, fuck Team Mystic.
Yeah, fuck Team Mystic.
Team Mystic. Team Valor!
I heard people with Team Valor can't even say Team Mystic.
Whatever. They don't
we
don't even.
Got it. We got Swole with their blue. We got Swole Pokemans.
I got a shirt at home that's red and it says
but
Team
seriously,
Valor.
can we talk for just a second about what the hell is up with all this Team Pride bullshit?
What? Team Valor?
It has absolutely no impact on the game.
Like, let me explain something to you. First off,
like, you pick a fucking color and people like get on and berate people about what color they pick.
There's gym battles for different teams.
Okay, if you think the different teams are like actually different, then I don't want everyone here, any of you, complain about the ending to Mass Effect ever again.
I have never complained about the ending to Mass Effect. And
I haven't beaten the last one, sorry.
Then don't complain when you play.
As far as I've noticed, that they've got some like team values or some bullshit supposedly.
But it changes the gameplay zero.
It doesn't change the gameplay at all. And it changes the color of an icon.
Most people are playing Team Mystic, but someone pointed out that statistically, probably the reason why that is because people just pick the middle team when they don't know what to pick.
Yeah, exactly. Indecisive idiots always pick Team Mystic. But anyway,
all I'm hearing is that these guys don't understand how great Team Valor is. Team Valor.
That's true. That's right.
Bam.
Boom. Well, on that note, I probably should do the shout out from Isobiz.
Sure.
This is what he says. In Pokemon Go, everyone should join Team Instinct. Yellow Bird died for your sins. My name is insert available host name here, and I approve this message. Then at the end, I want you or someone else to say very quickly,
advertisement paid for by Team Instinct.
I think we did that like exactly
that
like they wanted.
Yeah.
Precisely.
No, we nailed that. High fives all around, guys.
High five.
No.
Here's another thing that we need to mention. Stephen Peckham is now a producer. He upped his donation level over $50.
Thank you, Stephen Peckham.
You motherfucker. You beautiful bastard.
And a quick shout out to Chad Pinto, who is a new patron, donating $2 a month for Flame On.
Chad, welcome.
And the members of Flame On.
And everyone knows that if you contribute even a little bit to Patreon every month, Tony will leave a recorded message on your voicemail for you.
Nobody has hit me up for that, but I will be more
it's
than
a perk.
Happy
you got to ask for it, but Tony will record a message for you to use in your voicemail.
And I can make myself sound like anybody you want me to.
Sylvester Stallone, go.
You know, hey, this is your message for the guy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
here.
Go.
Listen, you've got some kind of a message on your phone.
Weird Al Yankovic, go.
I got nothing.
Got it. So, you know, just everybody
For absolutely no money a month, Brandon will just lie to you.
I never lie.
And that's the Nerdy Show guarantee.
Brandon lies all the time.
Oh, I'm just going to stretch.
Okay, well, I think we got all that out of the way. But again, thank you to everybody who donates and everybody who does not donate. We've got ways that you can help us out by going to nerdyshow.com/support, where you don't even have to use money. You can use our Amazon links. You can tell a friend. Which
rating and reviewing on iTunes.
Yeah. Yep. Rating and reviewing is always good. Click like on SoundCloud, you know? But, you know, I always think that the most important thing is telling a friend. I think that's more important than giving even small amounts of money.
You are not wrong. I think the other really important thing is to pay attention to what Brandon's doing because he has just brought out a cutting board, an onion, and a knife.
Sorry, I've been having trouble lately. There's supposedly a way to cut onions without making people cry, and there's a really good way to do it. This is my free time.
You just brought this in just to make us cry.
No, why would I? That's a horrible. I'm gonna cry too. I don't.
Oh, I smell it already.
I'm just cutting.
You're shaking all of the cameras.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
If you could cut.
Don't
in a
cut
way
yourself.
That doesn't move the table as much.
Yeah, I'll just cut
on
my legs.
No. This is such a bad
anyway.
Idea.
Can we talk about something else?
Like, yeah, let's continue.
Let's talk about the movies we've watched recently. A couple of them.
Star Trek. Oh, I'm gonna cut my hands.
Yeah,
I don't know how to cut.
We definitely need to talk about Star Trek. I think before we go into the movie too much, let's briefly mention the show.
The teaser.
Yeah,
It exists,
and they announced the title
before it was released. They said that we were going to be getting details.
Okay.
And we did not get almost any details whatsoever. I still have a lot of questions, but they did show us the new ship, and it's called the Discovery.
Okay.
And the show is going to be called Star Trek Discovery.
Wait, it's not the Enterprise?
And you know, every Star Trek is always watered down to a couple of letters, like Next Generation, TNG. This one's going to be STD.
Wait, no, seriously?
Star Trek Discovery. Do you think people are not going to call it STD?
Fucking stupid.
Yeah. A little bit. But the ship looks really interesting.
I just want to point out, Brandon brought out another onion, bigger than the last one, and he's cutting them in such a haphazard way that it makes no sense whatsoever.
I'm trying, there's a sacred way to cut an onion where it won't make you cry. I'm trying to figure it out. It's like a puzzle.
Well, so far you're very successful.
Yeah, yeah, I don't smell it.
It's working. Yeah. It's working great.
You're doing God's work, Brandon.
Thank you.
So anyway, Doug, the new ship, what do you think of the way that it looks?
Well, for those who haven't seen it yet, the best way to describe it is it seems to be inspired by an early Ralph McQuarrie design.
Hey, I know that guy. He did Star Wars.
I think it kind of looks like a Federation slash Klingon.
Yeah.
Collaboration.
It looks like, in fact, if you were seeing it in silhouette going straight up, it almost looks like the Federation symbol.
I bet it probably would. Except for there's no tip.
Like, yeah, it's got a big round saucer. Well, like, yeah, the body is got.
I guess
the,
if you put like a point coming off from the saucer, sure.
But do we have a time period?
No, and that's the other thing. They wouldn't.
Yeah,
even
that's
say
what I'm
what
really
was.
Mad about is that.
But it looks. Now I have to say, because I watched it really closely because I wanted to try and figure it out. It looked like it uses the same sort of warp nacelles and everything that you would see in the original series movie timeline, like Wrath of Khan.
Right.
But it obviously has to take place in the new continuity.
Which there,
no, it does no. not. It is. They confirmed that it will take place in the television continuity.
So we get dilithium crystals.
Yes,
or trilithium.
We always get dilithium crystals.
All right. I'm just making sure, man.
Dilithium.
But that was one of the early speculations, is that it was going to be between the original series movies and Next Generation. So that's a distinct possibility, and the ship does kind of look like that.
Especially since the Ralph McQuarrie art was designed for Star Trek Phase 2, which became Star Trek The Motion Picture. So this is all kind of tying into that time period. And I got to say, the concept art in question, the original concept art, I didn't like the look of it. But seeing it in motion, I'm like, okay, it's not the Enterprise. It's a new ship. That could work.
It looks a little blocky and weird, but...
But if it's from that time period, it could kind of
maybe make sense.
Brandon has just brought out a third onion.
Whatever.
And we're not crying yet, so I think he's got it.
Do we have this on camera at all?
No, we don't need to get it on camera. It's fine.
Did you get it, Doug?
I got. Oh yeah, let me show you how much of a mess he's making now.
Yeah,
it's obviously working. I'm not crying. Maybe if I peel it first, I'll.
Oh, now we have absolutely no idea what the hell Brandon is doing.
It doesn't matter.
This was not planned.
Entertaining himself.
My goal is to stink up Cap's recording studio for when he gets. I'm leaving this here. I'm not throwing it out or anything. I'm just leaving it here.
No, I'm going to leave it down on
Cap,
there for
we were unaware
a few
of
minutes.
This.
Yeah, he brought in a bag, but we didn't think to question what was in it before we started recording.
This is what happens when you let me bring
Listen,
in
we
home.
All bring in bags. You know, we bring in a beverage or, you know, like a food or...
He's not going to eat any of this. You literally just bought three onions to waste.
Random meats.
Three. I've got like five.
God damn it, Brandon.
First off, they can use these. They can eat them. I'm not going to throw it out. I'll just.
You're
eat.
Not cutting them in a way that anyone would use them for.
I'll just throw
you didn't even take the skin off.
I think that's the trick. That's the secret.
At first, he sliced them like, okay, maybe we could use them for something afterwards. Then he just takes the second one, just cuts it in a block,
trying to get us to cry, you need to chop the onion really fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, why are you telling this?
I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to get you to cry.
So, I'm just trying to teach people about onions.
But also
so the show yeah we know pretty much nothing else about it. There was a joke at the convention where it seemed like a half joke, maybe it was whatever. They were like, oh, maybe we could visit, you know, because William Shatner was there and he was like the one sort of fielding questions apparently. He was like, so are we gonna get to see Kirk in this, you know, like whatever, and they hinted that, oh, that might be a possibility or whatever. So I don't know if that was just 100% a joke or if they're hinting that maybe it was somehow during that timeline or if they're going to visit the Nexus Ribbon or whatever the fuck they called it from Star Trek Generations.
I hope not.
Which would be... No, I would. It's like, because that whole thing...
Well, there is
done,
a gap between the last movie and the Nexus Ribbon that we don't really...
That we haven't seen.
Yeah, we don't really know.
Is DS9 going to be in the new
show? Oh, you mean between the point of when he disappears into the Nexus and...
No, between the last movie.
Nemesis?
No.
No, the last original...
Original series movie.
Undiscovered Country.
Generations?
Yeah, like the movie doesn't end with Kirk getting sucked into the ribbon.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
So there's a gap.
Between Undiscovered Country and... Generations. That they could fill in within this.
Oh, but he would be like... 30 years older than he is when he appears in Star Trek Generations.
Right.
So I'm saying they would probably...
They'll de-age him. You saw what you did with Michael Douglas?
Or they just go into the ribbon and he's still alive because it's magic.
Or they could just move on.
It's pure magic.
I would be totally happy if they just moved on to completely new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Because Shatner seems to be this really... It's Shatner's response to the new Star Trek stuff has been ridiculously passive-aggressive.
Because he wanted to be in it.
Because he's not in it. Yeah, he wants to be in it. He's Kirk. He's the captain.
Although I don't know why, because they did write a scene for him, and I guess he said no? I don't know what happened.
Neither do I, because, and this is for the new film that just came out for Star Trek Beyond, his statement on it, because he came out and said, no, I'm not in the new film, nor did they ask me for the Star Trek 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And just that,
but they did ask him to be in the first reboot in 2009.
But that phrasing... sounds so just kind of like, yeah, I'm not in it.
But it's William Shatner. What'd you expect? He's going to be like, oh, yeah, the new film. Well, I'm not in it. Did you expect him to not talk about himself?
Okay, the problem is that they asked Leonard Nimoy to be in it, and he was pissed off because they didn't ask him to be in it, but they took
Leonard
Nimoy.
No, but they did ask him to be in it.
Can we still see the onions?
What? You don't need to see onions. Okay. Oh, are you actually filming this?
Yes! Yeah. What do you think the video cameras are for?
It's getting out of hand, actually. I'm running out of room.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It doesn't smell, though, so
I don't know if this was the best day to have mild air circulation.
Anyway.
We experimented around in this little room with having the ceiling fan on this time, and now it's circulating the onions.
Everything your hand touches becomes onion.
So we're running low on time.
May you have itchy eyes soon, sir.
Oh, no, I'm good. Oh, God. I'm good.
When you move your hands around, I smell it more than the whole pile.
Jesus, no, God damn it, Brandon, stop that.
Anyway.
Let's talk about Star Trek Beyond, because we saw it, me and Boris saw
Doug,
it last night.
Doug's the only one who hasn't seen it. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't mind spoilers. Should we say to the audience we might
Kirk's
talk about a few
Kirk's
things?
Kirk's
going to
win. Kirk's going to punch an alien in the face. Maybe bang an alien.
No main character.
Let's try to keep it spoiler free because I imagine most people haven't seen it.
The good guys win.
All of my points of contention with the movie are little things in the movie that I guess they would spoil it, though.
So, well, most of my problems with the movie had to do with...
Deep cut Star Trek knowledge.
Yes.
About what?
Well, my Star Trek knowledge is a little bit too extensive to fully enjoy this movie because I think about some things.
Did you like that the Breen were in it?
Those weren't the Breen. They kind of looked like the Breen, but they weren't. Mm. My problems with it involved the Star Trek Enterprise, because Star Trek Enterprise happened before this movie, and they run into a ship that's supposed to be the first Warp 4 ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost similar in shape and structure, though.
Well, the problem with that I had with it is that it had a teleporter on it. Because
they didn't invent teleport technology yet.
Enterprise was the first Warp 5 ship, and that one had the first teleporter.
The onion smell is starting to get to me. Jesus.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is. No, that is actually something that a true diehard Star Trek fan like you, if they were actually giving them notes, like they claimed they had, people helping them, know.
They also had in Into Darkness on that Admiral's table, he had a model of that Enterprise, the Archer Enterprise, the NX. Like, was it NX-01 or whatever?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had that model on his desk. So, even brings up more questions.
Well, that Enterprise did happen because the schism between the two universes happened way after the original
Right,
Enterprise.
So what I'm saying is, how come they're seemingly retconning this? Like, there's a disconnect here where you say there's an earlier ship that they encounter that's supposed to be even older than that, and it has a transporter?
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it looks more like a modern Starfleet ship, too. Like, it looks more... modern than the NX class.
Well,
ship.
Did you see the inside of the Enterprise in the first movie? It looks nothing like how the universe should look like in that time period.
It is important.
There was a schism.
But the technology wasn't any different before the schism.
Right.
It was the same technology. It shouldn't be shiny, white, and sterile inside the ship, is what I'm saying.
Important to note that not knowing any of this, I didn't give a shit and enjoyed the fuck out of this.
Oh, no, it was better than the other two, in my opinion.
No, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved the movie to death compared to the first two.
Yeah, definitely.
I really enjoyed Star Trek 09. I loved it for space adventure film, which was essentially what it was. It set everything up in a really good way, and the chemistry and the cast was great. Star Trek Into Darkness was hot garbage.
I did like the way the Klingons looked, though. I thought that was the best part.
And they were in it for all of 5 minutes.
But that's why that was the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
They had the same goddamn arc in Star Trek, and every character arc, every character moment was a worse version of the arc that they had in Star Trek 09.
I still love it. It's like, you remember the last time I was in a bar and I told you to go join Starfleet? I'm like, yes! I remember that movie very well.
Because
why are we doing it again?
Goddamn movie! The idea that in the first 20 minutes,
Kirk is relieved of his command of the Enterprise and then regains his command of the Enterprise and into darkness, meaning that there are absolutely no consequences for his actions. They do a send-off, quote-unquote, to Wrath of Khan by doing
The youngins are getting me, man. Shit.
I'm starting to feel it a little bit.
I have it worse than all of you. Well, that brought up one of my points. My first point of contention was, why the hell does Kirk still have a ship? He doesn't know any regulations. He doesn't look like he's in part of that society or culture that you should be like.
We're
an
also
officer.
Supposed to assume that they have been going through the original series like
it's
episodes.
He doesn't know how to do anything.
He referenced that they've been flying around for 3 years.
I would like to see that.
But here's my question then. Is Kirk's personality a little bit more like a commander?
Yes.
Or is he still the frat boy who wants to bang every lady
he sees? No,
he's
more like actual
Kirk.
No, he is.
Okay.
And this is
what
I'm
starting to
speak
like him too.
The way that everybody seems to have matured in this film is so natural.
It's killing me.
Keep going, Brandon.
I wish I could cry.
It's a very natural evolution for all of these
characters.
Let's
get the camera back on Brandon now.
Yeah, so
we can see that the onions are still there.
Don't
but
put the camera on me. You might see something you don't want to see.
But you know what? I'm going to get into a different point because the onions are distracting me from my original giant jackass.
Brandon is taking over now. Screw Nerdy Show and Cap. This is my onion show.
This is onion
Welcome
hour.
To Nerdy Onion Show. Fuck you and cry.
Is that your Irish accent again there, Brandon?
That's my Jamaican accent.
I want you to bite into one like an apple.
All right, here
That'll
we go.
Make it worth
you
it.
You want to see me bite into it? Here, yeah. You guys ready?
God
you guys ready?
Damn it, Brandon.
You see it?
Mm-hmm.
You see it? Oh, fuck.
Eat it!
Chew, bastard.
Uh-uh.
All right. Even.
Hold on. Oh, why do my eyes burn for biting into it? That's not where the burning should happen. Let's talk about Star Trek. Go.
Okay. This film started in a way that was beautiful because it wasn't epic. My favorite part about this, because Into Darkness, again, terrible fucking film, starts with everything is high stakes. Everything is high stakes. You know, giant secret installation is completely destroyed. Hundreds dead. Kirk has lost the command of his ship. Everything is the worst. Everything is dire. Everything has gone to shit. And holy fucking God. And now in Star Trek Beyond, it's just another day on the
Enterprise. They're like, we're really bored. We need some leave. Let's go stop at this station and hang out for like a couple of days.
We need to.
We've been in space for 3 years.
And they needed to stop, get some, you know, to resupply. It's just like a ship at sea that they've been exploring, that they're charting uncharted space. It felt like that's what they were doing. Kirk's kind of.
And that outpost is really interesting.
Oh, it was so gorgeous.
Yorktown. Is what it was called.
Well, I just kept thinking this would not exist in the timeline of the technology era that they had. They could not build that.
Yeah.
They need to wait till like maybe TNG era to get there.
Again,
technology wasn't altered because of the schism. They still went on the same path.
Well, it was altered.
Oh, come on.
It was.
Because they brought through that squid looking ship.
The Romulan ship?
The Vulcan squid ship.
Yeah, but that collided with the Romulan ship.
They didn't get any technology from it. But they didn't gain any knowledge from it.
But they did from Khan, because the
Nero's ship.
Yeah, Nero's ship, but in the second one, Khan helped them build a super fucking stealth ship, which I have no idea how he would have any of that knowledge.
Onions! Anyway, the start to this film feels more just adventure-y, you know? They go out. It's
like
a
Star Trek episode.
Yeah,
like, they start off
mission.
More science-y. It's like, it's normal. Everything's like, we're doing this. We're doing our job.
And then they go on a rescue mission because there's somebody who shows up and it's like, oh, we need to. And then shit hits the fan.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to start with an action scene. It's supposed to lead into
How was Idris Elba as
He
the
was fucking great.
He's my favorite. The whole time I forgot he was in the movie, I was like, that looks familiar. He looks familiar.
And it was fun for me because I didn't even know. I might have read that he was in the film at one point, but the prosthetics on him are so good, especially
at
first. And he speaks in such a stilted way that you don't even know it's him, but you hear like the resonance of his voice through.
And
his
then there's like the reveal that it's him, later.
And it's
which, by the way,
oh,
was
shit,
dumb
that
as
is, that is,
was dumb as shit. And I'm not going to talk about it, but the way that someone's just magically figured out was stupid. Anyway,
Don't really care, but it worked.
Still a good movie, but pointless that part.
Now, from a cinematography standpoint, they took away my biggest annoyance with the first two movies, and there's no lens flares that I noticed.
It's a different director.
Right. So, you know.
So,
but he didn't they replaced it all with so much shaky cam that it sometimes made me a little bit ill.
Oh, yeah. God, speaking of ill, these fucking onions. I hate to keep bringing them up, but Jesus.
My hands are turning purple.
You fucking
Anyway. Yeah, can I just mention the word motorcycle for a second?
I love it.
I don't care if this is a spoiler. There's a part where they just happen randomly to find a motorcycle in a mess hall. It's like the same one my dad used. And I'm like, I know you're going to use that in the movie later. This is dumb.
Well, there's you saw
no
in the trailer.
There's no explanation. I know, but there's no well, you know me. I usually don't watch trailers or anything. And I was like, there's literally no reason for this to be here. There's literally, they give no explanation for
the
vehicle they find on this planet. They literally, they're like,
Brandon,
how'd
do you
here?
Believe that there are no motorcycles in the future?
No, randomly on a remote place? No. And then they randomly say, oh, how did the ship get here? Maybe some say an anomaly. Okay, let's go with that. Done. Like, what, really? There's no explanation.
Don't
now,
care.
There's, I would like to reference Tom,
I want to know the science.
Tom Paris from Voyager had an obsession with old Earth vehicles. So somebody like him probably just wanted to fix up some old thing.
It's just so convenient.
In their spare time.
He bought a kit online.
It's in the mess hall.
Doesn't matter.
It's just sitting there in the corner like, oh, hey, look at that. What? Like, just randomly.
It could have beamed there at any point.
Do you guys know how big space is and like the infinite possibilities of that not being there? Like the odds of that being there.
Do you understand narrative structure and how it fit and it was a nice
Do I understand MacGuffins?
No,
yes.
No, because of rules established in Into Darkness, anyone who wanted that motorcycle to be there could put it there.
so it's logic of Bill and Ted.
No, it's the logic of they have that teleportation technology where they could teleport an object or a person to any place in the universe.
Whether or not that happened.
But that
doesn't
shouldn't
matter. What does matter.
I'm just saying, that's your out. You want an example.
What does matter is everybody yelled at the use of the Beastie Boys in the trailer, and the Beastie Boys are in the movie, and it's fucking great.
It is actually
also the same ship that they found the motorcycle on.
Well, I didn't want to mention it because I don't know if that's spoilers.
Well, it was 200 years previous to, like, it was 200 years old. So. Yeah.
Jay Leno, there's going to be motorcycles on a spaceship.
Well, I just wanted to squash Doug's teleportation theory.
Oh, well, then there you go.
Thank you, that was actually really nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
But
I do have a question, though, for you guys.
Hit me.
What is it about onions and taking off your glasses?
It just makes it easier to rub my eyes.
Wait, let me do it, too.
It makes it easier to rub my eyes, not to mention the pressure of...
I can't rub my eyes.
...on the glasses plus the...
Oh, God.
You're under pressure? Nee, 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 nee.
Breaking down. Yeah, it's pushing down on me.
I will say...
My favorite
God damn it, Brandon, you're fucking onions!
Well, we can all see that Tony is the most affected. I think the wind is blowing it your way because there's a current coming under the door for air conditioning.
There's nothing between him and the onions. There's monitors between us.
But the wind is blowing from the underside of the door straight over here from the air conditioning.
Well, there's also the air vent.
Oh,
my final note about anything Star Trek was that I plan on seeing the movie hopefully tonight. And I think that the trailer for the TV show was short, interesting, but it could have done with more Beastie Boys.
I also want to tell you that when you go into the movie, everything that Uhura does in the entire movie is pointless and should not exist. Okay, continue.
She did a couple of good things.
Yeah, but there was no reason for it.
Another question. Do they raise up McCoy to be more of a player?
Yes.
Okay.
He's fucking marvelous.
Good, because it's like they kept on focusing on Kirk and Spock, and they tried to like...
No, there's buddy moments with Bones McCoy and other character, which I'm not going to mention.
Everybody, the conceit of the film, when shit hits the fan, like, the crew gets scattered to the wind.
Right. And so they're all having different, separate adventures at the same time.
I'm just like, Bones was the most underused character.
He's better in this one.
In the previous films.
And Carl Urban continues to steal every fucking scene he's in.
Cool.
Yeah.
And just, all right, couple
of things. Does he have more range than just plain, I'm the grumpy guy? And I know he's capable of, but they don't write him well enough.
They do.
There's slightly more range than the last two movies, yes.
Okay, things that Bones gets to do this time that he hasn't in the previous film.
Heal a person.
Be a doctor, yes.
okay, good.
Go on. Be a
That's
doctor.
True.
Not a mad scientist who's injecting triple blood into people.
You mean super blood.
Or operating on a torpedo for something.
Yeah, I was going to say, none of the bullshit from Into Darkness
he goes on an
plays
adventure.
Into this film at all.
Yeah, they don't even mention it.
None. It doesn't matter, which is wonderful for me because that film
you
was,
can just
again,
skip it then.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, you don't even need to watch that.
Okay. There is one reference to it, and it has to do with an escape pod. That's it. It's great. Bones, again, gets to be a doctor. He gets to be a friend and confidant to Kirk the way that he used to be. He gets to be kind of the heart of the team in some ways.
As he should be.
Exactly.
they wrote him well. The fact that Simon Pegg wrote this film, you can feel it.
Yeah, in the first 30 minutes, you can see the humor that he's written in.
It almost feels like a Simon Pegg Edgar Wright joint in some ways.
An Edgar Wright Star Trek would be phenomenal.
He almost directed this one.
Did he really?
After Orsi was left / booted from the project, mm-hmm. he was in the running along with Justin Lin.
I'd love to have seen that.
Well, I think they made the right choice in Justin Lin mm-hmm. because
it's very slick action kind of thing.
The action is very well shot. Mm-hmm. Bohr didn't necessarily care for the shaky cam. I didn't think that it was that bad because
it was pretty bad.
Don't touch my face with this.
Okay, my threshold for bad shaky cam though is Paul Greengrass in the Bourne movies, especially like the second one where he was like, "No, I don't even worry about framing the shot. Just do what you do. I'm going to get a shot." And it's like, okay, I can't see what the fuck is going on.
It's a hand. It's a leg.
I mean, I think the shaky cam was, if it didn't make me almost ill a couple of times, I probably would have been okay with it.
You were queasy going into the theater, though.
Not really. It wasn't a vertigo thing.
To me, it worked. There were some very disorienting moments, but they were meant to be disorienting. Well,
and even when they first showed up to the bridge, they did a quick spin around the bridge, and it was as fast as you could fucking spin with a handheld camera. Because if it was any more, it'd be just a blur.
Yeah,
it was basically a blur.
Okay, but I loved it.
So do we recommend this movie?
I absolutely recommend this movie.
I do,
especially
too.
The only thing I will compare it to is my experience with Into Darkness. The first Star Trek film was a revelation to me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Into Darkness, I was looking forward to kind of...
horrible.
And it's something I enjoyed while I was in the theater, but grew to hate.
Because it's not a Star Trek film.
No, it's just not a good film.
That too.
I think this one will get better watching it a couple of times.
No,
too.
And that's what I mean. This one, when we left the theater, because me and Bohr just saw this last night. When we left the theater, I was just filled with happiness. Enjoy at what I had just watched.
Yeah, everything I liked it too.
Even knowing from a meta level, because I, as an actor, I really enjoyed Anton Yelchin, who unfortunately passed away earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And knowing that this was his last time as Chekhov weighed on
me. Yeah, that kind of sucked watching the movie, and you see him, you're like, oh shit,
And he was so good. He continues to be so good. But even that, the performances, it never hit me that hard that I wasn't
going to
see him.
I actually don't know what they're going to do in the next movie with him.
They have said they are not going to recast it.
They haven't
decided how they are going to remove.
That was actually going to be my next question. Do we know what's going on with this alternate universe Star Trek? Are they continuing to make movies?
There is a potential for a fourth film. The contracts for both Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine are open for it.
I mean, they've got 2 more years of their voyage. They've got another 2 years to finish.
So, I mean, we might see more of it. I would not mind seeing more of it.
They should reboot it again.
I
would like to see the end of their 5-year voyage and they come back to Earth and it's just the Borg.
That would be
what's happened?
It's like three years from now,
we're going to hit the 10-year mark from when the first one came out. So it's time to reboot it.
The Spider-Man logic.
Yeah. Well, they could easily get the Borg involved. It would just have to be
But they didn't even exist near there. Oh, cute.
What kind of cracks me up is the original films kind of had this reputation that every odd-numbered Star Trek film was terrible.
Every odd-number's been good so far.
Random thought. Q could show up in the...
Yeah.
Why doesn't Q show up in the movie? He should.
Because he's a ridiculous character that I love, but it's still ridiculous.
Because he breaks narrative. He breaks continuity of... I don't mean established Star Trek continuity. It's Q only works when a writer is like, you know what? Let's just screw around for a little bit. You can't do that in a movie. Yeah, there's no good story.
I would argue
that Q would probably be attracted to what's going on with the
Because he
Enterprise.
Could probably see the split. Or
because
whatever.
He could, yeah, he could see the split.
He can travel between.
Guys.
But for people who aren't big into Star Trek, the average Joe who enjoys these films, he's going to be like, what the fuck is this? He won't get it. I will tell you how to use it. What if that's what the new series is all about, is Q fixing the timeline. He's like, things got messed up. I don't know what's
happening. Here's a new ship. Go out. Do this thing.
Okay.
He repairs
the timeline. In
the movie
continuity, though, we have seen that a meta movie like that can actually work in the form of Deadpool, so I'm proposing Trekpool.
No.
It's going to be great.
No.
It's going to be great. Just meta commentary sitting there. We can even have another Picard joke, who's the best captain?
Sisko.
It's going to be marvelous.
Is
it Shatner or Pine?
Did you say Sisko?
Yeah. No.
The
you just hit on something. Oh, the reason why Q
gets involved is because he's looking at the split timeline and he realizes that because of the way things are progressing,
Picard
will never be born.
He's like, "Where's
so
my
he
friend?"
He wants to fix it. He's like, "Oh shit, yeah. That would piss him off."
Yeah, that's why he wants to come and
fix
it.
And he will destroy half the universe to get Picard born if he has to.
Just to torment him.
Everyone would be like,
"That's the only way I would accept Q showing up against with Chris Pine." He's like, "I don't know who this guy in the future is, but we're living now and we're trying to progress forward." He goes, no, we got to go back and fix this. It's like, no, this is my
and
life.
It's the same actor who played Q, which I...
John DeLancer.
And then Q, that's the thing. Q would offer him something that Kirk couldn't resist. See, that's the thing. Kirk really couldn't stand up to Q. He'd be like,
"Here's a thousand women.
What if I could take you back and we could save your father from dying?"
Yeah.
He'd be like, "My dad? Well, yeah." He's like, "We can fix it all. We can take you back and do all this.
We can fix the Federation. We can fix everything.
We can fix everything, Kirk.
We can bring..."
He would do it in a heartbeat.
With Picard, he had to force those what-ifs onto Picard because he... probably
by the
knows
way,
that
Sisko,
Picard would have said no.
Sisko punched him, and then, because he's a badass. I'm just saying, he punched Q? Q. Yeah, and then Q goes, "You hit me. Picard never hit me." And Sisko's all like, "I'm not Picard." I'm like, "Yeah, this is my boy." So that's why he's the best. Anyway. So
well, he hates thoughts. Picard, though. Like, if you were to try to draw any parallels, like...
What, Sisko?
Sisko hates Sisko.
Well, did you see the first couple episodes? Yeah. Of Deep Space Nine, you'll see it.
Yeah.
He gets him stationed there and like all
No, I'm just
shit
saying, out. If you compare Sisko to Picard, he probably will punch you.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Final thoughts on Star Trek Beyond.
It's not a pure Star Trek movie, and it definitely has its flaws, but it's way better than the other two, and you should see it if you like any bit of Star Trek.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. The characters all have every character in the film gets a chance to shine, and they all have unique and different character arcs as opposed to the Hangover 1 and 2 scenario from Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, where everybody just did the same thing again. Two thumbs way the fuck up.
I mean, except for Uhura, but everyone else is great.
You know what? Shut up. Uhura was great. You're sexist and terrible.
She didn't do anything.
She did. She was great.
Anyway, your thoughts, boy?
All of the thumbs up. All
right.
I loved it. Except for, I mean, I'm a Star Trek purist, so I would have preferred something in the original universe.
You saw way more flaws than I ever would have.
But
that's because he had his Star Trek
despite the flaws.
That's the burden he carries.
I still liked it a lot, so it's fun. Watch it.
You don't even cry. I've got these onions here, and there's nothing.
Goddamn fucking onions!
It has to do with my super staring power,
or that you've cried so much you can't cry anymore.
As we've established,
I'm all cried out.
Cry earlier.
Are you just trying to see if one of us is going to crack and lick our own eyeball?
Yes. Well, guys, we're
exposed lizard person.
Which one of you is the lizard man?
It's time to go, everybody. We've run out of time. I'm just saying, we have actually run out of time.
Sure.
This takeover of Nerdy Show. Oh, I definitely have run out of time. I need to go.
I guess we should surrender Cap's house back
on
the
cap. So we should wrap it up. I'm leaving the onions here.
You're going to let it.
All right.
We should put onions in the air vent and just let it stink up the whole house.
I'm going to put it in like a pot and just leave it on their stove. And they can cook it when he gets back in 2 weeks or whatever.
So he's going to have some rotting onions on the stove. Cool.
Do onions rot? Okay.
Yes.
They're so... Anyway. Closing.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show.
Who wants to do you read the outro?
I'm going to go ahead and do the outro, and I'm going to do it as a Felly girl, because why the fuck not? Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you, and others like you, to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the Nerd Record via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, like what happened with Becky. There's even more perks available. Just head over to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social media networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered, I guess. God, I want to punch myself in the face now.
I kind of want to punch you in the face, too.
Do you know what happened to Becky?
She
cut so many onions, she cried herself to death.
That is totally a Becky thing to do. Like, seriously, did you see her at Monique's party last week?